Seviniz.
Need a man who's got it made, always looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it, a spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday, yeah.
There he is, my man in Amsterdam. I've said that before.
Good morning, Vietnam.
Stole a couple of lines from movies.
How are you, sir?
I am very good, thank you. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good shape for the shape I'm in.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
How are things on the East Coast?
Good. I think I don't know. I was good to the animals over the winter. I lost my dog, and I've mentioned before I'm feeding all these doves and squirrels and everything, right? But,
Yeah.
you know, it's just like there's always got to be a bad to everything. So I was out watching my squirrels, who are, you know, busily wrecking my shed, but I've accepted that. I'm going to fix it up. But
Yeah.
I love them. I got three of them out there, and there's a big gray one that comes around, but he doesn't stay. And I got my juncos and my chickadees and my doves. And then we're watching, and we see this little thing where the squirrels come out from underneath the shed. And something comes out, and Sean goes, "That's not a squirrel." And I went, and it's a fucking mouse. I thought it was a rat at first. Oh. And then
What's wrong?
first thing Sean just says was, "Well, you know, I heard that, you know, bird feed. You know, scattered bird feeds attracts rats." And I'm like, oh no, 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 no. This is gonna, I'm just like, this is gonna come back on me. I just know it's gonna be my fault, you know. And I'm like,
Right,
you know where I
right.
live? We live on the woods. I think there's probably mice out there. Like
There's definitely mice, a
there's
hundred
probably
percent.
7 million mice and 5 million rats behind us, you know.
Wow.
But this guy just kept, he's funny because he just keeps his little hole, and he just keeps, you can see him pop his head up from way back
Yeah.
over here, and he goes, and he runs up and grabs a
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he hasn't got a furry tail, right? So it's not a rat.
Yeah.
And the
It's funny. It's funny how, like, if an animal's cute, we're totally cool with it. But as soon as it turns
definitely.
ugly, well, that's a problem. Like,
But the
mice
squirrels
are
weren't
cute.
cool with it. The squirrels
Mice
weren't
are
cool with it. They were out there going, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. They were so mad, and we were trying to figure out why.
right.
Because this mouse moved into their house. Like they were looking at me like the landlord, like, get this mouse out of here.
Yeah. And mice are pretty cute, but rats, they're ugly, and
Oh,
they're
fuck
they
rats.
but rats tend to be like in cities where there's a lot of garbage. So I don't know if there's too many rats out.
I don't know, but my neighbor's son, adult son, he told his
Yeah.
mom one day that he saw a rat run between our house. And
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I've been here 20 years and I haven't seen a fucking rat, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But
They don't tend to
rats,
be around.
it just depends. Like, I talk about, we're gonna, you know, as usual, I digress really
Get on
fast.
topic shortly.
But this week's topic is rats. No. When I was a kid, our first house wasn't that far from my grandfather's house. And I know the story more from hearing the story than remembering it. But
Sure.
my grandfather came down and said, he said, there's a big hole in your basement. And he said, I think, because we had gotten a rat. And he said, I think the rats are coming in from there. And my dad, of course, like, no. It was just an oddity, blah, blah, blah. And then one day we were downstairs and like three rats came out of this hole, man. And it was just like,
Yeah,
ugh.
they're nasty.
They're nasty, yeah. But
And then
rats.
there's the possum, the
Oh,
opossum,
the
which is
opal.
like a giant rat. Those are
Oh. They
they're
hang upside
sort of
down.
cute in a weird way, but they're kind of creepy in a
They're
lot of other
cute at
ways.
the zoo in a cage. I got no
Yeah.
interest in them. I like raccoons, even though,
Raccoons are cute.
you know, you had Rocky there for a while,
I did.
and you know, I've already told a story about my dad's friend getting his thumb bit off by a raccoon, so trust them. But
Right.
the least
Read the book or watch the movie in a few years and you'll get to revisit that.
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like we're watching. I think I told us already about the Paddington Bears down there in Peru. That was so awesome. Watch
Yeah.
that Tom Hanks special.
Yeah.
It's going to be harder and harder as we go along because I can't remember anything I say from week to week. So you got to just constantly, yes, Sean, you just said that. Yeah, that was last week. We've already talked about that,
You
Sean.
want me to start doing that? That's like, that's yeah. Well, we've talked about this too, and it's like when your grandfather tells the same story every time you see him,
Exactly.
you're just like, you just got to go along with it. You're kind of like, well,
We're gonna have a, you know what? You're gonna have to get like a flashcard. Just hold it up, and
just hold it up. You're
I'll hang.
saying the same thing again.
It's just a red flashcard. Okay, I reset
Well,
this.
we tied, or I just do the
Yeah.
slashing motion.
Chris
Okay.
is over there. This is like, what is this, amateur hour? Jesus.
Getting the hook.
Yeah, I'll be getting replaced pretty soon. They'll be coming on. Chivalrous guys with Chris and Jimmy.
No, we'll leave it as Sean, but you'll talk to him before the show, and then he'll relay it in a concise and accurate manner.
Don't know if you noticed that, but I put in last week's description literally that. I said Chris talks about
You did.
and then it's and reels
And
Sean trying to keep him on topic.
keeps Sean on track.
All
Oh,
right, we're gonna do better. I'm gonna
all
do
good.
better. I'm gonna do better. Be
Okay.
better. So
All
this
right.
week's topic is clutter.
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 Clutter. CLUTTER. I don't
Clutter.
usually spell it. I don't know why I decided to do that, but
Well, I could have said cutter. I could have said a lot of
clutter. Yeah.
butter, margarine.
We're not doing a butter margarine debate.
I'm off track again.
Yeah.
Okay, have you got a definition of
I
clutter?
do. I do. And this one came up. Was it in last week's podcast? Anyway,
Yeah,
I mean,
said
again,
something.
we do. We're repetitive in nature, but I like quotes. I like inspirational quotes. If you go to our Facebook page, the Chivalrous Guys, you'll see a bunch of inspirational quotes. And I read one not that long ago that was, a cluttered life is a cluttered mind. And I thought, that's pretty good. I like that. And so it led us to this episode of clutter. The definition here, clutter refers to a collection of things that are disorganized, scattered, or excessively accumulated in a particular space, making it feel messy or chaotic.
Yes. Yeah.
It goes on to say it can also describe the state of being full of unnecessary or unused items, which can make it difficult to find or focus on what is important. Clutter can apply to both physical spaces, like a room or a desk, and more abstract situations like a cluttered mind or schedule.
Yes, the cluttered skit. I never thought about the cluttered schedule, but I think this day and age, there's a lot of parents with cluttered schedules, kids doing too many teams and activities. And,
Yeah.
I think people do have cluttered lives.
So when we first started kind of talking, I mean, it's always a bit of a process, and we kind of just launch into it, but when I first started thinking about it, I was like, "What? How are we gonna make an episode on clutter?" But there's a lot of stuff in this definition that I think can be present in many people's lives. You know, where you have this, you gather things for certain reasons, and sometimes it can add up to a point where it begins to feel a bit chaotic. And just as the definition. Or the definition as well as the quote, it can lead to, lack of focus. And I think, there's a lot of other sort of there are a lot of other reasons why these things can happen, and certainly that led us to decide this would be a good podcast topic, because there's a lot of stuff that ties into people gathering stuff and what why they do that and what happens there, and then, the process of maybe doing some decluttering and what that looks like as well. So,
Yeah, I think I jumped all over it when you weren't even suggesting it at the time. You just mentioned it,
no,
but I've been dealing with it
yeah,
because my house is cluttered, and I think
right,
it comes from age has a lot to do with it.
yeah.
You bring up two children, you start your life, and you think, that's what we do in our culture is we gather. Like I got a house and I got a car and I got another car and we get toys. I buy toys, the kids buy toys, and we buy another TV and new furniture and new clothing. And it's just, and my wife, She's not, she's not a hoarder by any means, but she doesn't throw things out. She keeps good care of things, and she does not throw anything out. And what happens is, I go to my bedroom, and there's a beautiful nook in my bedroom that has a fireplace and a shiplap wall that my wife did, and it's got an old dresser and chest and an old mattress and books piled everywhere and shit piled on top of that. And it's because she doesn't want to throw that furniture out or sell it. And that nook could be so beautiful in so many ways. And then we have a beautiful leather love seat in there, and it's covered in clothing because our closets are full and our dressers are full. And listen, I am by no means pointing my finger at my wife. I have Lego everywhere. I collect Marvel stuff. I have a t-shirt collection that could, clothe Peru. I mean, I get it. But I think it's just, I think that's just what we do. We buy. And the kids both left here and have started their own buying. One son's more of a buyer than the other, but they also left a lot of stuff here. Like, I mean, I've got two beautiful wooden armoires in the spare bedroom, and they're full of like my kids' school books and stuff that no one's ever, going to use. My son's been married for 8 years, and I found a box of his weddings, like the plates and napkins and stuff, in the garage. And I said to Shonda, I said, "Can I just throw this out now?" "Oh, well, we better ask him." And I said, "Okay." We asked him, and you know what his answer was? "You still have that?" "What?" So that's just a
Okay,
few.
so I'll ask you this. Did you throw it out?
No, she didn't let me.
So who wants it then?
Nobody?
Well, Shonda does.
Shauna does. Yeah, that's it.
Well,
And
yeah.
I said, and I every time I by no means want to ever sound like I'm picking on my wife because I've done so much more wrong than her. But every time I suggest getting rid of something, and she says no, I always say the same thing. Okay, well, the kids can get rid of it when we die then, because that's all we're doing. With a lot of this stuff, we're just literally leaving it for somebody else to take care of. Because, I mean, you were here. This is my fault. I've got a stack of magazines in my closet that I can't even begin to get rid of. I think I figured out this week I'm going to start every week going down and taking like 10 of them, tie them up, and throw them in the garbage so they'll eventually be gone. Like, I got nothing. I
Well, I
don't.
told you should put them on Marketplace for $1 a piece. You probably could sell them. Just
Probably could sell them. I mean, they're
put a
like.
stand out front of your house with a box in it, $1 each. It's just like, here you go. Like, I don't know.
Not a bad idea.
You'll have like 400 horny teenagers hanging out
That's
in
what I
front of your
figured.
house because I, you know what, I might as well. So they're not like pornographic, but he's
No,
got like
Maxim.
Maxim and
Stuff
like.
like that, like men's. It's funny. I watched a show on Maxim the other day, how it was such a big thing for a while. Now, it's out now, like everything else, right? Like, because it was, it wasn't a. It wasn't a good thing culturally. And I'm not going to go off on this, but it was just interesting because every actress was told they had to go on Maxim, and it became a verb. You got to get maximized, and it helped their career. It really made women feel like objects and terrible. And a lot of them didn't want to do it, but they were told they had to for their career. And it wasn't a. I didn't know that at the time. Of course, none of us did. I thought it was harmless. But anyway.
No. But they're like, yeah. I mean, it's an example of like, I don't know when the last one you bought was, 10 years ago. Like, when?
Minimum. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah. So,
it's been years.
there's a good, I brought up a list of reasons why people have clutter, right? And what some of the psychological, emotional, environmental factors are. So, here's the list. Emotional attachment to the items. We all know that, right? You have an emotional attachment to something.
Yeah, that
Fear of losing things. Okay. Trauma or loss. So people who have experienced significant trauma or loss or major life changes may use the possessions to cope. Like you may hang on to something that, was your dad's and, he's gone, right? That makes total sense. Perfectionism. So people want to have everything just right. I struggle with that one because,
that's the
perfection,
opposite of butter.
it feels like it is, but yeah, accumulation, which may lead to an accumulation of things in an attempt to create an ideal environment anyway, that one seems weird to me. Cognitive and behavioral factors. So, so that's like you have difficulty organizing or decision making or categorizing things, so you just gather them, right? So that's one. There is here genetics and brain function. Research suggests that there may be a genetic component to, gathering things. Studies have shown that these tendencies can run in families. And that's just again like different, whether you have difficulty decision making or organizing. That this is what we talked about earlier, mental health issues that, such as like con depression, anxiety, ADHD, and OCD, where you just have a hard time making decisions about what you should keep, what you shouldn't keep. Lack of organizational skills, that kind of makes sense. Living your environment and social influences. So there isn't enough room or something, and so you want certain things, but you don't have enough room. So like there's stuff all over the place, things get cluttered. And yeah, you talked about it, but gradual escalation, like the older you get, you have more stuff and it starts to gather. You mentioned clothing, but I again came up some point somewhere I was reading something. We wear 20% of all the clothes we have.
I 100%.
Right. So you just like rotate through the same items and all the rest of the stuff just stays.
I've got 100 t-shirts. I reach for the same six of my favorite, like I could get by with 10 easily.
So it just, I mean, and going back to what you said about, well, we'll just let the kids throw it out. I've talked about this on a few of our podcasts. Yeah. I mean, when my dad died and now my mom's gone. Yeah, you just end up throwing out all their stuff is the problem. Or you hang on to a little bit of it, but most of the stuff really doesn't have any value to you.
Nope.
And so it just ends up in the landfill. And as a species, we got into this phase. I don't know when it happened, but where we just became consumers of goods. Like it's just like, oh my God, I have to have that. I have to have that. I mean, I'm sure it has a lot to do with media and television, where you saw somebody on TV who had this shirt or whatever, or this jacket or this hat or these shoes or whatever, and they're like, oh, next thing you know, it's like, I want that, I want that, I want that.
Yeah, and
We just buy and buy and buy and buy and buy.
I think we've come to value ourselves on having stuff, and I think even what we were talking about earlier, I think before the podcast, about how kids can't, a lot of young people can't buy houses now, so they buy other things just so they have things like clothing and maybe even cars or, and I work in an industry where, furniture used to be generational. Like, your grandparents had a sofa and they passed it on and they passed it on and you got it and recovered it. And you had, I remember I got married, I got a sofa from my grandfather and a chair from my uncle. And now furniture's become disposable. Like, companies like, I won't say names of companies, but there's companies I know that make furniture that basically know it's only going to last 5 years. And people just say, fine, it's cheap, I'll buy it and I'll throw it out and get another one. But that's our land.
Absolutely.
Our landfills are getting. Cool. But a part of it, I work in an industry. I'm a salesman by trade. And, as a salesman, you have quotas and they go up every year. And it's just sell, 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 sell. So someone's going to buy, right? And then it's gotten so much easier with companies like Amazon and Temu. And I mean, Temu is just garbage. And I've never bought from them, but my daughter-in-law shows me stuff. She gets earrings. They're $1 and they're 50 cents. And there's just like all this. I just think, oh my goodness, the stuff that is just. And I think it somehow gives us a value to ourselves to have more.
Does.
And I think fear leads part of that. I know when I was younger, I didn't have any money. I don't mean when I was a child. I mean, when I started on my own, I had no money. And then when I started making a little money, we started buying more and we kept growing to how much money we made. We had a house that was fine, but then I could afford a bigger house. So we bought a bigger house and we had one car we got by. Oh, but let's buy two cars. Oh, the kids need a car. Let's buy three cars. I didn't want a Harley. Well, at one point I had three cars and two Harleys, like it was just to the point, total excess, And it didn't make me any happier, Chris.
No, you can only drive one car at a time, right? And the thing with houses too is that the bigger they get, the more stuff you can put in it.
Yes,
I mean,
but then they get full.
Well, and in case in point, like I don't know about you, but I would say 20 to 30 years ago, like the idea of a storage container, that didn't even exist.
And now there's more storage containers than there are homes.
Storage companies, like they're everywhere. Every town you go in, somebody's sticking their extra shit into a storage container, right?
If you have a storage container, unless it's for like a home run business, no, you just shouldn't have one. If you can't fit what you have in your own home, don't have it. I'm telling you. I had one for a while. I think I started out maybe for business or something, for POP or something,
Yeah.
but it cost me a fortune, man. And like it was.
They're not cheap. I think, yeah, and look, I think a lot of this, yeah, people put a value on things. And look, I'm not saying that I don't like to have nice clothes. I do. I like to look good. I like to look a certain way, but that does also change, right? Over time, I think, oh, I don't really like that style anymore. So that's the point where it's like, okay, well now, okay, that stuff I don't wear anymore. At least again, there's a lot of recycling these days. There's a lot of good in that. There's thrifting and all these, these things. And so that's great, right? But yeah, even me, like when I was in sales, like I feel like I like I'd have shirts, and then I'd be at whatever store, and I'd be like, oh, that's on sale, I'm gonna buy another one. And eventually, like I had like 50 dress shirts. I was like, this is getting a little nuts, right? So I literally gave away like 35 of them last year. At first I was like, wow, like I paid a lot for these. And there's some places that like buy your shirts off you. And I went in and she's like, no, these aren't what we're looking for. It was like a younger crowd, so that I got it. I was like, no, okay, I get it. So then I just took them to Goodwill. But we place value on our possessions because we want to feel like we have accumulated
Yes.
wealth or whatever it is. Like, because, and again, like you talked about furniture, yeah, back in the day, like if you had a really nice piece of furniture, and even today, look, there's companies that make obviously incredibly expensive and high-end furniture, which is something that you would keep. But and I'll say, like IKEA, yeah, it's pretty disposable. I think it's great stuff, frankly, for the price and everything, but whatever. But we place a value on things that we buy because it makes us feel like we've accumulated wealth.
Exactly.
You can point around your room and go, okay, that's worth 100, that's worth 100, that's worth 100. Here's all my stuff. But what I think, if anybody who's listens to this has ever been on Facebook Marketplace, you come to realize that the things that you have ain't worth shit.
Nothing.
I could go and buy a $250 espresso machine today at the Bay or whatever. Tomorrow, if I want to sell it, it's worth 20 bucks.
You're lucky. Yeah.
Because there's 100 of them on there, and it's and so
And even collectibles and stuff like everything, everybody's collecting everything nowadays. So unless you have to have something like from 70 years ago that's still in the box that you kept, but you're not going to buy like a piece of Lego.
yeah.
Everybody's buying it. Like Lego's a collectible thing now, but you can keep, it's just not going to be worth anything. Like
No, it's not. It's
everybody's
not.
doing it. There's so much of
No.
it.
No, and
I had a Lego set a while ago. It was like Cloud City from Star Wars, and I sold it for more than I paid for it, because it
okay.
was a bit of a collectible, but
Yeah.
it wasn't a lot more than I paid for it. It wasn't that big a deal.
I don't know. Some of the stuff, yeah, it's get out while you can, right? Otherwise, yeah, it's just appreciating by the second.
But on that same thought, I think part of having too much is being a collector, which is a
Yeah.
problem. Like I dig like collecting Marvel stuff. Like I like Marvel movies, and my son buys me, and I still like it. You saw my room. I've got all the shields and hammers.
Yeah.
I love that stuff, and I'm not getting rid of it because it brings me joy. And my Lego cars bring me joy. But like I've got a couple F1 cars for my birthday, and I love them, and I still want them. But the problem is the space is becoming more of an issue than the want. Like
Right.
I can't really afford them, but even if I get them as a gift or something, I don't know where to put them anymore.
Yeah, and
And then
The
you gotta clean
reality
them. You gotta
is
clean them too. That becomes an issue.
the likelihood that at some point you're going to downsize your home is pretty good. Everyone gets there,
Yeah.
just about, right? And so now what? I mean, that's what happened. I told this story, I think, about my mom. That's what happened with her. Like, she was living in this great big house and she had to move to a smaller house. And I said, "Mom, well, you got to start throwing some stuff out." She couldn't. In the end, I did it because she couldn't. And so, yeah, it's tricky because I think the things that we, and it's nice to have things around that, that make you feel good, right? Of course it is. It's nice to look at something and go, okay, that's a nice fun reminder. I just find for me, more and more, it's just maybe it's a photograph. It's something I can hang on the wall.
I
It's
agree.
just not something that I need to like kind of like have on my counter or so I've already started. I try to spend an hour or two every Sunday throwing stuff out. To be honest, I do.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and I just we talked. I think we talked about it last year. I don't know. I think or last year, last week when we were discussing this topic. Like, I like the idea of minimalist living. I like the idea of, the whole feng shui, the Japanese kind of way, very simplistic, like a bed and a side table and a lamp and a book and just less stuff. I think if we can kind of go back to the root of some of this stuff and this whole idea of like a cluttered life is a cluttered mind, I think when there's a lot less around you, it gives you an opportunity to just like be at peace. I just don't, when there's so much going on around you, it's just hard to be peaceful and focused.
Yes,
You know?
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I mean,
So.
I was reading. I don't want to keep talking about my house too much because I might say something that's not nice and I don't want to do that. But the old proverb, I actually wrote it down, is a cluttered desk is a sign of a cluttered mind. But then Einstein said, if a cluttered desk is a sign of a cluttered mind, of what then is an empty desk a sign of? Right?
Yeah.
An empty
Yeah.
mind. You said that last week, and it came up on my research too. And so it says some research suggests that a cluttered desk might actually be associated with increased creativity, while a tidy desk could lead to a more conventional thinking.
Yeah.
So there's kind of a there's two different versions on it, but there's, like you said, there's visual clutter and focus. Too much visual stimulation can restrict our brain's ability to process information and focus on important tasks.
Right.
There's mental clutter or
Yeah.
excessive thoughts, worries, or concerns that hinder focus, decision-making, and overall well-being. And that
Right.
mental clutter really rung home with me because
Yeah.
I do find I have mental clutter.
Yeah.
I spend
Yeah.
way too much time on the past, way too much time with guilt and worrying
Yeah.
about the future and what's going to happen and where we're going to be and what's, blah, 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 blah. And
Right.
I literally never focus on the here and now, even though I preach it a lot, I talk it a lot, I
Yeah.
don't do it. And
Yeah.
meanwhile, 30 years of my life have gone by.
Right.
So busy waiting for the sword of Damocles to fall down on my head that I haven't even bothered living underneath it. I've never lived. Like, I just,
Yeah.
it's,
Yeah,
and I
I
don't think I'm an
don't
exception either.
I yeah, I understand both sides of that statement, but frankly, a cluttered like an empty desk or an empty mind is that's exactly what you're whenever you meditate, that's exactly what you're trying to find.
Right.
Like you're trying to be clear in your mind where you're just thinking about your breathing. You're thinking maybe spiritual thoughts, you're thinking about positive energy. So, if you can't find that moment or two or whatever in a day where you deactivate your mind, where you're not cluttered, that's not a way that I think is a healthy way to live. So an empty desk to me is an op is anyone's opportunity to put you. Yeah, look, my desk may start out empty in the morning, but then I put a bunch of stuff on it. I go through the things I need to do, and then I clear it all off at the end of the day, and I'm done. I do that every day at work. If you came into my office at 2 o'clock, there's going to be stuff all over my desk. But at 5 o'clock when I leave, it's done. It's done. I put it away. And so I understand what he's talking about, but I've been involved with people in work that are, have stuff piled up on my desk on their desk, and I can't imagine that you can be focused in that environment. Like I just it's like to me it's just ADHD, man. Like how do you even stay on task? Like you've got 1,000 pieces of paper on your desk. Like what is happening? To me, it's chaos. And if you're living in that kind of chaos, then you're not, you've got to have some anxiety stuff going on. You've got to have some like trauma stuff going on. You're not dealing with stuff. I don't think if that's kind of.
And digitally too, like I remember I used to keep my emails down to like 20. Like that was it. I never more. My emails, I think, regularly sit at 10,000.
Like in a red circle?
No, answered. Like
Okay.
opened, but my inbox has 10,000 emails in it all the time.
I'll never forget. We were at a friend's cottage and she went to show us something on her phone. And like you can see, you could see in the bottom of her screen her email. And there were 1,147 unanswered emails in the red circle. And I was just like, what is that? Like, what are you doing?
I know.
Like I couldn't. Like
Buddy,
I
I had the
couldn't.
same moment with my boss from Magnuson years ago. I looked down at her phone, same type of thing, and it showed like, I don't know, like you said, a couple thousand unopened emails. And I'm like, unopened? I open every email as soon as it comes in. Like as soon as I open my phone or I go duh, 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 I see what it
Me
is.
too. Absolutely.
And if I know it's something I don't want to read, like I still open it or delete it or whatever. I just don't leave it.
And look, alternatively, here's the thing. I do this all the time. Of course, you eventually start getting emails, whatever, whether you bought something from somebody, and all of a sudden you're getting emails from them, right? I immediately go in. If I know that I'm never going to buy anything from them, it's an immediate unsubscribe. I'm done. Like, I don't want your shit. Like, and so any emails on top of that that I know I don't need ever again, I am unsubscribing immediately.
Right. I
So
agree.
then there's very little junk, right? I think again, and it depends on your personality type for sure. Like for me, yes, 1,147 unanswered emails almost gives me anxiety. I'm just like, oh God, like
Absolutely.
how am I not taking care of my shit that I have that many I don't know.
But it's a new modern kind of clutter. It's
It
digital.
is absolutely, absolutely, and then going back to some of the, the side effects of clutter, that the idea that the ADHD and OCD, like I've often joked, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things to be tidy. I like things to be in a certain way, but that's because I find it makes life easier. I put my keys when I get home in the same place every single day. So when I come down in the morning to leave for work, I know exactly where my keys are. So, whereas I've been around other people that they put them somewhere here, there, but and then the next morning they're running around like a chicken with their head cut off. They have no idea where the keys are. And I'm just like, put it back in the same place. You've got no problem. It's easy. But that's me. And that, no fault to anybody else, but lost my train of thought completely.
That's because you're
Oh, sorry. Just as far as like, I joke about OCD, but I'm not OCD. Like I've met people that are OCD,
Yes.
and that's a whole other level. Like that is a whole other level. Years ago, a friend of a friend, like he'd asked for a vacuum cleaner at the hotel because he wanted to vacuum clean the room like 7 or 8 times.
Wow.
That's a whole other level. Yeah. Like that's a whole other level. And I feel for those people that have that, but being organized and being OCD, not the same. One's a compulsion, one's an affinity to a certain state
Yeah,
of
there's
being.
nothing wrong with being neat and
But
all that, but I mean, I think, wow, the subject's brought up so many. I'm almost getting my mind's almost too cluttered to think about it all. Like, there's so many different ways to think about it. Like, since I was looking up how clutter can lead to depression. Says like overstimulation and stress. Clutter bombards the brain with excessive stimuli and makes it harder to relax. And
Absolutely.
Feelings of shame or guilt. A messy home can trigger self-criticism, making people feel lazy, overwhelmed, and out of control, which worsens depressive symptoms. Buddy, that is me to a T. And lack of focus and productivity. Clutter competes for our attention, reducing concentration and making daily tasks harder, which leads to frustration and hopelessness. And social isolation. People may avoid inviting people over due to embarrassment, leading to loneliness, a key factor in depression.
100%,
My
hundred
God.
percent. I
Clutter is
know.
big. It's not a simple issue. It's a big one.
It is not. It is not, and it is complex. There's no question about it. So I'm glad that we're having this conversation today, because when it first came up, I was like, how are we going to talk? But there's a lot to it, and I touched on the ADHD. It's like when you have so many things going on around you, and even like digitally or whatever, it's hard to focus. Like if I had one shirt and one pair of pants in my closet, I wouldn't have to think about anything when I get up and go to work tomorrow. This is it. I'm good. But of course, in
You'd be depressed.
society, yeah, but in society, you know, you go to your work and people will be like, are you wearing the same shirt again? Like you'd be shunned, you'd be
Okay.
criticized, you'd be this, you'd be that, you'd be like, or you just say, look, I'm making a socioeconomic choice to just wear this. I wash it every night. It's clean. It's like I don't know. It's like we've just become like this massive consumerist society where everything is totally disposable, and at what cost? Like at what cost to
There's famous, like very rich, successful people, and I don't know if it was Steve Jobs or who I'm thinking of, but literally will like CEOs that wear the same suit every day. They've got five of them, or 20 of them, or 50 of them, because that's not something they want to bother stressing about every day. They wear that specific, get up and get dressed. That's it. They don't have to think about it. They're thinking about other things.
And I've done that with certain like jeans that I like. I'm like, oh, these jeans are great. I love them. I get a great deal. Like they're 2 for 1 or whatever now. I just would buy 8, and then I would like I wouldn't have to think about it. I could just wear those, you know,
Well,
every day.
I was over. I mean, I'm still overweight, but I was really overweight for a good part of my adult life. And for a lot of that time, there was no down here. There was no big and tall clothing stores. I couldn't buy clothes anywhere. Nothing fit me. And then when I lost some weight, and all of a sudden I could buy at Old Navy and Gap and places like that, Walmart even. I mean, anywhere I could buy clothes wherever I wanted. I became a bit of a clothes horse. It was wild. I kind of made up for lost time. And then I became a shoe guy. I was buying, oh my, I had like three pairs of Bundstones and all these sneakers and shoes. Then I had my operations, and I had to get rid of them all because they don't fit me anymore. They're too small. But this, I'm gonna digress for a minute. I think maybe we should tackle like OCD and that in a future podcast, because I have a few. I don't know if the which habits they are, what they're called, but like, I catch myself all the time, Chris. I mean, all the time. I leave the house, I go through the garage, I put the garage down, and I leave, and I circle back like 4 or 5 times to make sure the garage is closed. So I stop and I look. I say, "No, it's closed." And I leave and I go. Then I go, "Oh my, is it closed?" And I go back again and I go, "Okay, Sean, you know it's closed. Don't come back." I get down the road and I go, "Oh my God, is the garage closed?" And I don't know what that is. I'm having
That's
memory
OCD.
issues.
That's
Yeah,
OCD.
and but I'm.
Because I read about it earlier, and I'll read it to you right now. OCD is
Sure.
obsessive compulsive disorder, is a mental health condition characterized by recurrent unwanted thoughts and repetitive behaviors or mental acts. So one is a compulsion. In an attempt to reduce the anxiety caused by the obsessions, a person with OCD engages in repetitive behaviors or mental acts. These can include actions like washing hands repeatedly. We've all like met people that like checking things over and over, like locks or appliances, or counting and arranging objects in a specific way. So that would fall into that. And it goes on to say, obviously, it can impact daily life. Obsessions, compulsions take up a lot of time and interfere with work, social relationships, and overall well-being. Treatment often includes therapy, such as cognitive behavioral therapy and medication like serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
look.
I don't know. I never know if something's a habit. I know that's OCD, what I just discussed, but like I get up in the morning, I do everything exactly the same. Like I like to stand at the counter and I put my pill case down and I dump all my pills out and I organize them a certain way before I take them and I put my coffee in a certain spot and my drink in a certain spot and my phone in a certain spot and I'm like and I always have to lay my clothes out before the shower, not after. Like I shower unless I know what I'm wearing. I don't like come to the shower and start looking for clothing. I want to have it all laid out what I'm going to wear. There's,
Does it give you comfort? Why do you think you do that?
I don't know. I think it's comfort. I don't know. I always just put it off as a habit, but I have to do it. Like I've stressed myself out in the shower if I've realized I haven't laid my clothes out yet. Isn't that
Well, okay.
weird?
Yeah, look, I think a lot of some of this conversation, it's also about change. I think when we hang on to things, we're hanging on to maybe stuff from the past as well. So when you're able to sort of remove some of those things and remove some of the material possessions that are important to you, you're able to then kind of free up things and maybe have an opportunity to like make a bit of a change. Like I said to you, I found myself with a lot of shirts that were blue and white, and I was like, I don't know, maybe I need a bit more color in my life. So then I started buying some pink shirts and a flower shirt, it just reflects who I am more now than maybe I was at one point. I was a bit more conventional and traditional, and maybe now I just want to kind of be myself, maybe just kind of be a bit more open-minded, I think. And so I think that decluttering and it allows some room for new stuff, which is nice, and a change. And so,
Yeah, I was
and I,
reading.
you know,
Go ahead.
yeah, I just wanted, I, because I, when I was diving into this, I got into feng shui, which, feng shui came up. I think everyone knows the term these days.
Yep.
It's a Japanese term.
Yeah, my mom
And,
did it for a while.
huh?
My mom did it for a while. Like certain colors faced a certain direction.
But one of the things, it's not Japanese, it's Chinese. I need to clarify that. But it's arranging and organizing living or workspaces to promote the flow of positive energy, which I think is really kind of the important part of that. Like it's the qi, right? Which is a life force of energy that flows through everything. And good feng shui aims to enhance the flow of qi to create a positive environment. And I don't think most people would look around their house if it was really cluttered and think, "Oh wow, this is there's a lot of negative energy here." But the reality is that I think that there can be.
Yes, I agree.
And I think that there's something, positive about understanding that, like, decluttering, yeah, there are reasons why we do it. Some of them probably psychosomatic, some of them, related to trauma and various other things, and we don't really realize that. And by changing that environment, we could find ourselves just feeling a bit more uplifted and a bit more kind of like free. You know what I mean? I talk about enlightenment a lot, and I think there's something when you lighten the load, you kind of lighten up, you lighten how you feel when you come into your space.
Yeah, I think I want to make some changes, and I was when I started looking into this, I came across a few pieces of advice that I thought were good, and they said like small steps, like decluttering even one area, like a desk or a bedroom,
Right.
it can create a sense
Absolutely.
of accomplishment. Like
Absolutely.
don't get overwhelmed by the whole house. Pick a room.
No, you got to start.
Just
And it
start
can be
somewhere.
overwhelming. It
It
can
can
be
be.
overwhelming. And listen, I don't think, look, I'm going to talk about him because he's not, he may listen and that's okay. But my current boss, his place, he's got stuff everywhere,
Right.
John, like everywhere. And it's got to be chaotic. I can't imagine it's not. And it's like I just, he wants me to help him with his business, but we've got stuff like all over our lawn. Like when I first pulled up, it was the winter. Everything was covered in snow. I had no idea, but now it's there, and I'm like, It's embarrassing, man. Like, if I pulled up and I wanted to buy something there, I'd be like, nah, I'm not buying here. It looks like a junkyard. It
Right.
looks like a junkyard. And I'm just like,
You
I
have
feel for
neat
this
tidy
guy.
piles that are labeled and organized, and you look like, oh yeah, this place is professional, right? Yeah, for sure.
I feel bad for him, and I don't know what's going on for him. And if I can help him, I will try. I consider myself a pretty organized guy, and so I'd like to help him. But the thing is, some people, they can't let it go.
Yeah, not without serious help, like mental health.
Right. I mean, this whole thing, if we want to talk like extremes here, this hoarder, like it can be hoarding, right? We've all seen this. There was a show. I mean, I'm sure maybe it still exists. It's like, you have to have an intervention. It's a disease.
Oh, they wouldn't. People that won't throw out like plastic food containers. Well, I might use that. You know, I might
I
use that.
know.
But 20, they have 1,000 bottle caps. Well, you never know. You know, like
I know. I know.
it's a
And
sickness.
he's got a bit of that. Like, he's got stuff that is just like, what is going on here?
Yeah. It can be scary.
Yeah. So.
And well, I hope you do help him. I think you'd be a good guy to do it. I
I
hope he'll.
hope I can, but it's hard. Like, you have to approach it delicately.
Yes,
I
of course.
because people
It
will
can
take
affect.
it as a slight against them.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? It's like, I'm not, I'm here to help. If I can help, I'm gonna
Right. Like, you got to convince people like
man.
you're on their side. You're not against them. You're on their side. You know,
I
you.
mean, yeah, I mean, I'm there to help his business. So part of me helping his business is making the business more approachable for customers. And it goes hand in hand.
I don't know the man, but I think he might know that. I think that's why he hired you. I think that's what he wanted. But then even when you know that's what you want, sometimes it's hard to give it up anyway, you know.
Absolutely.
Up to control.
Just as it may be, I'll give you an example. You said you have enough t-shirts to clothe everyone in Peru, I think you said. But so you do. You don't if you have 200 t-shirts, you don't start off by just throwing 100 into a bag and running it over to the Goodwill, because you'll probably have a regret. And I'm not saying that, like, there were a couple times where I just went a little bit nuts, and I was like, afterwards, I was like, shit, maybe I shouldn't have thrown that out, but it's gone now. So I gotta let it go, right? But you start small. Like, you make a pile and you're like, okay, these are some maybes, these are some definite keeps, and these are some I don't need. I haven't
Right.
worn this one in 7 years. I love it, but there's something nice about thinking about somebody else wearing it. Like,
Yes.
going, you know what? That'd be great if somebody else got to wear that. It's kind of cool. It's a great shirt. And
Well, I feel that way about clothing, and it's like we have old video game systems and games that are never going to get used. Yes, it's cool. They're collectors, whatever. But I think,
Right.
you know, if I have a PS2, I'm never going to use, and some kid would love this and would let him
Yeah.
use it.
I
Let some
mean,
kid have a blast with it. I don't
absolutely.
put it on my shelf for the next 40 years and then get thrown.
Absolutely.
You
Yeah.
know, and clothing,
How
the same
good.
thing. Let kids wear them. Let somebody have them. I mean, if I got cool Marvel t-shirts and cool stuff, like let some kid have them. I mean, why not?
Absolutely. And how good would it be? Like, here would just be like a great example. If you just like went downtown around Christmas and just like found a kid on the street and said, hey, you want this, man?
Yeah.
He'd just be like, I don't
You want this PlayStation 3 and 10 games?
know. Yeah.
It's true. Like, you know, I think there's some really good you can do it. I've got bookshelves full of CDs and DVDs, and because we thought that's, you know, back then I remember thinking, well, we're gonna have this stuff forever, like a movie collection. We got a movie library. And then I didn't know that eventually everything was gonna be online anyway. Like no one
Of
who saw
course not. Of
it. Like,
course
you know,
not.
we thought.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. Some people still like CDs. So, like, do you even have a CD player?
My car. Oh yeah, I've still got CD players.
Okay, so yeah, that's maybe a thing, but
maybe I listen to a lot of vinyl. I still find vinyl, and I do listen to my vinyl.
I got rid of all my CDs years ago,
Yeah,
but
I don't know. I've still got cassette tapes. I mean, I think
that's wild. Yeah,
I
that's
still have eight
wild.
tracks. You know.
Wild. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't have any reel to reel. I think those are actually gone. But
That's good.
I do have a lot of old video game systems and video games and stuff. And I don't know. Like I said, I don't want to point the finger at my wife because I'm bad too with my stuff. You know, I got
Yeah.
a sports memorabilia for a while, and you know, just I do feel, but you also got to accept the fact that it doesn't mean that it was wrong. It just means who you were then is not who you are now.
Absolutely. And that's a big thing.
I'm a different person now. I got different wants, different desires. I want a different way of
Absolutely.
life. You know,
Absolutely. No, no
it's
question
not about
about it.
wrong or right. It's just change. It's just we get older. We're going to talk about ageism moving on, you know, and I think that's part of the subject, you know, in another podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I said small steps is one. But another thing, it's funny, it just made me think of you. One of the things they say that helps is mindfulness.
Yeah.
Just addressing emotional attachments to possessions. Just
Yeah.
addressing it. You know, just figure why you're to look at something you can't throw and say why. Why can't I throw it out? Try
Yeah.
to figure that out. And
Yeah.
this one I thought was really important. Routine maintenance. Just
Yeah.
daily tidying habits prevent buildup. Just
Yeah.
staying on top of shit. You know. And
Yeah.
that's the
Yeah.
way I used to describe our house. It's like we're like neat hoarders. Like, you know, like we Shonda keeps this house spotless. She vacuums and cleans
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
like, you know, nobody's cleaner than my wife. We just have a lot of stuff to clean, you know. But
Yeah. Yeah.
I've even found that problem with Lego. I love collecting Lego, but it's hard to clean. It's hard to clean.
Yes, yeah, it would be.
It
Yeah.
is. I use an air compressor and, you know, but sometimes if it gets too long, it gets dust builds up on every little spot and
Right. It's a lot of work.
The last one that I thought was just professional help, which we always talk about. And it says if you can get if it's really severe, you can get a hoarding disorders treated or therapy like
Yeah.
CBT.
Yeah.
And I looked to see if it caused depression. And it says clutter itself doesn't directly cause depression, but it can worsen stress, shame, and isolation factors that feed depressive cycles. So if
Yeah.
messiness feels overwhelming, tackling it gradually or seeking support can definitely help gradually improve your well-being, mental well-being.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, you can't take it with you.
You can't.
Right, so
I think about it all the time. Like I say the kids, and I think like, God forbid if tomorrow I'm not here with us anymore, I'm just thinking, who's gonna throw out all my stuff? And it's very weird to think of yourself not being here because all of a sudden all the stuff that you have control over, like no one goes into my desk, you know,
Yeah.
knows what's in this desk. I don't even know what's in half of it, but someday someone's gonna start looking through this stuff and go, what the fuck is this guy doing? You know,
Right.
my
So it
closet.
might as well be you. Might as well be you while
I'm
you're still.
starting to feel that way. I think I'd
Yeah.
rather have it so me, so when I die, that I almost leave a clear life, no hassle for anybody, nothing embarrassing for me, you know, whatever, whatever.
Yeah, I posted something. I think I posted it on our Chivalrous Guys Facebook page this week, but it's a quote again, but it's not really a quote. Anyway, it says, according to society, luxury is cars, expensive clothes, and a lavish lifestyle. But the real luxuries in life are slow mornings, freedom to choose, a good night's sleep, peace of mind, calm and boring days, being present, people you love, and people who love you back.
Well,
There's no stuff in there.
that's the end of the podcast today because that is perfect. Buddy, that's
Yeah.
the perfect statement you've ever read on our podcast. I think that's
Yeah.
beautiful.
These are, and it's a go, it's just at the end, it says, these are not things to be acquired, but rather the results of a purposeful and fulfilling life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That sounds perfect to me.
Yeah.
And it didn't used to sound perfect to me, but it does now. It does now.
That's good. That's good.
That's awesome. Just a couple books I wanted to recommend this
Oh
week.
yeah, right on.
My
If we
wife
get any
got
books.
me into a couple of these. This one, this is the 20th anniversary, so it's been around for a while, but it's called The Grief Recovery Handbook, and
Okay.
I've been reading it. I'm not through it yet, but I know I can recommend it because I like what I've been reading. It's an action program for moving beyond death, divorce, and other losses, including health, career, and faith. And it is fantastic. It is
That
really,
sounds great.
yeah. If anyone wants a good read,
Who wrote
it's John W. James and Russell Friedman, and
it? Okay.
the founders of the Grief Recovery Institute. And it's something that I wish I had read back when my mom died. But
Yeah.
it covers a lot of things. And one of them I really liked, other losses, including health, career, and faith. and losing,
Right.
and how much losing faith hurts. And it has hurt my life. I wish I had a kept mine. I've been, and trying to get your faith back is one complicated issue, man. Holy cow, that might be an episode we can do sometime, because faith is something you either have or you don't have. And when you lose it, it's hard just to say, oh, I'm gonna get my faith back. Like, faith is something you have to have. You just have to have it. And this is the last
Well,
one.
I
Sorry,
think you
I'm
don't
gonna
have to have it, but you're better off if you
you're
do, I
better
think.
off with it. Exactly. This is
Yeah.
another one. It's by Kristen Neff, I think her brain, she's a PhD. It's called
Yeah.
The Proven Power of Being Kind to Yourself. It's just called self-compassion.
That sounds like a great one too.
It is a really good one.
Self-compassion is key.
I can't read it fast enough. So, and I listen,
Beautiful.
and I know there's a million books out there, but I like getting recommendations, because if I know somebody I know and trust has read something, I think it makes it
Yeah.
easier to read, you know. And just because if you go up to a you go into a bookstore and you look under like self-compassion or anything mental health, there's a million choices, and who knows, you know? Because I
Right.
have, I'll tell you, I've read books that I don't like, books that are supposed to better you, and I've read them and I don't agree
Oh,
with them, I don't like
so
them.
have I, of course, for
Like, this
sure.
is
Yeah.
garbage. So,
Yeah, me too. Not for everybody.
but yeah, anything from you, or are you going to recommend the same book?
No. Am I gonna what?
You're going to do the same one 3 weeks in a row, which is okay.
No.
You really like that
Yeah, I'm
book?
still reading it. So if you
Yeah, why
want Seed
not?
of the Soul, Gary Zukav, it's a
Yeah,
game changer for sure.
absolutely. Absolutely. Dude,
Maybe if I didn't get somebody on the first try or the second try, they'll
well, I
try
think that's
third
maybe a
try.
good way to do it. Gary
Yeah.
Zukav. Did you get a chance to watch that movie Here that I asked you to watch?
I did not. No.
Watch it.
No.
I know you don't watch a lot. I know you don't, but I
I don't
suggest that.
always, but yeah. Well, this was a good one, eh?
It was a good one. It better. Sometimes the ones I worry about come up to be the best. This one,
Yeah.
for
Yeah.
me personally, this one has just set me off in a million different thoughts. And I think I knew it was gonna, because when you said it as a side thing last week, it just went blah, like it bubbled up.
Yeah, you had a light bulb go off,
Even
yeah.
mind,
Yeah.
yeah. Anyway,
All
I
right,
enjoyed
great.
it. Good seeing you. Good talking to you, as
You too.
always.
You too, of course.
And I love you.
Love you too.
Talk
Enjoy
to
the
you.
rest of your Sunday.
Sunday fun day.
There you go.
Okay, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Looking for that renegade. I calls it like I sees it. A spade is a spade. A good man is a thing of yesterday. Yeah.
Hardest part about the podcast is figuring out where to look when the music's playing.
want them, a good
See ya.
man. See, I love you.